So we're on. Section three.
They really didn't.
Number one, informal interview, 24143. Hello, Dr. V. Okay.
Are you recording?
We are recording. Okay, so Dr. Hayter, at this time I'd like to swear you in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Okay. So now, Dr. Hayter, we'd like to give you the opportunity to respond to the summary and present whatever information that you believe is relevant.
Okay. So thank you for your time. I'm excited to be here and taking up this time and resources for a mistake that I made initially when I held the premise license for Desert Forest Animal Hospital. I was a resident in Arizona. My family and I moved here during COVID, and it was a strange time. We ended up moving back to California, and that's when the premise violation came up. When I got the initial kind of notification, I thought it would be pretty simple to have my full-time veterinarian hold the premise license, but for reasons that I can't explain, she's unwilling to do that through any manner of coercion. Since I got the memo, I've been diligently trying to find another full-time veterinarian, which has been an interesting process. I do have a candidate and a recruiter that has another candidate. I have two, so I'm hoping in the near future that there's a full-time veterinarian that could hold the premise. In the meantime, I've gotten an Arizona driver's license. I do own a home in Arizona, and I'd like to take up residence and be the premise holder for the practice for as long as I need to until we can get a replacement or just continue that to the future.
Okay. I need you to speak up a little bit if you could, Dr. Hayter, because
okay.
I'm hard of hearing and I wear hearing aids.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. I am soft-spoken.
So
do I need to repeat any of that? The biggest thing is that I now have an Arizona driver's license. I own property here, and I'm taking up residency to be in compliance. I want to do whatever I need to do to get in compliance with the premise license. In the meantime, until I can replace my full-time veterinarian and get somebody that will be willing to hold it.
Okay.
When thank you. Wait.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks. Okay. All right, so I would like to ask board members if they have any questions of Dr. Hayter. And so now.
Yes.
Doctor.
When did you move to California?
So it was around the end of 2020. I'm not exactly sure the timetable, but you know, there was COVID. 2020, we moved to Scottsdale. I bought the practice about that time. And you know, about a year later, we were moving back.
End of 2020. Okay, and Victoria, when was the premise license filed?
It was originally issued in March 4th,
2021. I may have the dates wrong, but I was here in compliance. It was during COVID, so it was that 2021. It's a very confusing process for me. When I had the premise license complete, I was living here.
So what was the date of your move to California?
Okay, so it was going to be the school year following that. So it would have been fall of 21.
Okay. Thank you. Is there any other information that you'd like to provide the board regarding your search for a new responsible veterinarian?
I provided a letter for the last meeting. You know, I've hired two or three recruiters. You know, my post is up on Indeed. That's public. You guys can see that. We're very challenged being in Cave Creek in that, you know, Scottsdale tends to have a higher turnover of vets, and then we have vets that simply don't want to travel. I'm also just kind of getting a handle on how people are hiring now, because it's different than when I found my full-time vet, and it's very relational. So I've changed recruiters. I feel like we're on the right track. You know, so I do feel like it's something that's gonna happen. I'm offering a very generous salary, you know, because of the situation here. I feel terrible about this lack of compliance, you know, so I mean, I put, you know, that I fear that $200,000 to come work. I don't know if you guys want to work.
Well, I was actually, this probably does not relate to your answer, but you have a full-time veterinarian, doesn't want to hold the premise.
Yeah, or is unable to for some reason, I'm not sure.
If you hired, I don't know if you needed another full-time veterinarian, but your premise holder does not have to be full-time. Your premise holder has to live and reside in the state and be in the clinic enough that they can oversee the process of the clinic, right?
Dr. Tracy, yeah, so Dr. Tracy has owned our clinic for over 40 years and she's practiced in the same building since then. She's 70 and she doesn't want to do it. She's flat out said no. Is that what you're saying, that another vet could hold it? I'm sorry.
Well, I just think in lieu of the current veterinary shortage or perceived shortage, I don't want to open a can of worms, but while it's very difficult to find veterinarians, let me just put it that way, there could be an option to find a part-time, very part-time doctor that wants to work for your practice as the responsible vet that is not there necessarily every day.
Yeah.
So that might be an easier feat to find somebody than trying to find a full-time veterinarian that wants to do this. I don't know what your situation is like. I'm just kind of...
Yeah, so we do have two part-time veterinarians. You know, Dr. Tracy is a previous practice owner and she's refused basically because of her age and she doesn't want the responsibility. I do have another veterinarian that's there most Fridays. She's refused just based on not wanting the responsibility. She says what happens if there's a legal issue with the premise. She doesn't want to be responsible. She wants to be the kid just to see patients. So when I do talk to vets, I do say come work part-time and he's willing to hold the premise license. It is just that difficult for me to find a full part-time vet, but I'm also open to ideas.
They don't have to work there at all.
I was just trying to make it easier for you to be in compliance. If you're moving back here to be in compliance, but if you could hire somebody to be your responsible vet, it may not be that they're working at your clinic on a everyday basis, like they, or what Victoria just said, or at all, like as far as daily practice. So separating those two things out, it might be easier to find somebody that wants to be the responsible vet, but not actually be in there practicing every day. Just a thought.
Thinking
outside the box. No, it's a good thought because it's kind of, the rules are the rules, the statute's a statute, but it doesn't define everything. So if you can hire someone as like a consulting type thing, you can do that. It's just, it's hard.
I mean, there's a lot of veterinarians who are the responsible vet for 15 to 20 practices. Right. Like I've done that before. So I'm like, I know that you're not there every day. Right. It happens all the time.
So on the question, because you said, now are you moved back here now or you're moving back?
So I've gotten the driver's license. We do own property here. At one point, I'm there admittedly a little bit less lately, but for many years I was there 2 days a week, even when I was living in California. And so I'm happy to be there as often as I need to be and become a resident of Arizona, to make it work.
So when you say you own property, is that the business or do you own residential property?
Residential property.
Okay, so residential property.
Because I understood that's part of the requirements of being a quote-unquote Arizona resident.
So when did you get your, when did you get your driver's license issued?
So that's recent.
Okay.
So that was based on legal advice that I got, they just said, do your best to become compliant, ask the board what you need to do to become the current apprentice holder, while we sort out the ongoing situation. So that's what I'm trying to do.
Do you have it with you?
Yeah, I got it.
Can you provide it to Victoria so she may take, or Todd, whoever can take a picture?
These are the tech guys, right?
And can you tell me what the issue date is?
So when it comes to residency, are you planning on filing taxes in Arizona as an Arizona resident then, or what's your plan for that?
We pay Arizona taxes, and if I have to distinguish this as primary, like if that's part of what I need to do, I will do that. I'm not fully aware of what I need to do.
done, so it's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're here to discuss, I guess.
Okay, so it appears that...
Any, you have other questions?
Yes.
Okay.
You're, what date did you submit the premise application?
So that was May, I guess you're telling me May, March or May of 2021? And then we, so we bought the clinic, we took the premise, and then it was the following school year that we moved back to California.
I'm sorry, could you...
The following school year, fall.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's fall of 2021?
21.
Which was before you had an Arizona driver's license?
I just got the Arizona driver's license. Yeah, yeah.
Do you have any other proof of residency prior to that date, that you were an Arizona resident?
Property taxes, utility bills, I don't have them with me.
You could own multiple properties?
Oh, whoa, what are you looking for?
When you, like, kind of going back to taxes, when you filed your taxes over the last couple of years, were you filing as a California resident or as an Arizona resident?
I'm guessing that they were probably California, but I don't know. I mean, that's a question I'd have to ask my accountant. I thought I was filing taxes in California and Arizona, and I don't know that one is more primary than the other, so I don't know the answer.
Yeah, you can only residency in one state, so.
Yeah, so there's different tax returns for the state, so there's like a non-resident or a, you know, partial.
So it probably was California.
And the reason I asked was because your Arizona driver's license, which we can't accept as evidence of residency, was not issued until after your premise license was applied. Mm-hmm. And in that premise license, it requires the responsible veterinarian to be a resident of Arizona. So any other proof you have?
That I was a resident at one
Correct.
Time. I mean, you know, the testimony of my neighbors that I was living there. What documents are we accepting?
Well, I'll say, except if we had a license that was done prior to the application, that would possibly be
important. Right.
Or
right.
Like some tax documents that show a residency of state.
Utility bills at the time or not?
That's not residency, unfortunately. That's for like schools and that kind of stuff to see you're in boundaries, but that's not state residency.
So I mean, essentially though, I mean, I understand what you're saying exactly. And, you know, I'm admitting that, you know, at the time of this previous meeting, it seemed that I was in violation of the premise, and I didn't do it on purpose. It was an oversight, and I'd like to just correct it, if possible.
First of all, it has some other ramifications as to the validity of information that was provided on the initial premise license application.
I see.
That's one issue. The other issue is that you have been searching for a replacement since at least February. And right now there is no responsible veterinarian for this premise that resides, except for now. You have, as of August, I take that back. As of August, you are a legal resident of Arizona. But from February until August, we did not have a valid responsible veterinarian for the premise.
I can you know, just admit to that, you know, in hindsight, having seen it and been here, like I realized I did violate the statute. The only consolation I have is that, you know, is the owner. I was very actively involved in managing the premise and making sure that everything is up to snuff. And, you know, I know the statute is the statute.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, for the color of kind of how it was, I guess.
Okay, and at this point, you're aware that your premise license is due up for renewal at the end of this year?
Yes.
And if you do not have the, if you're not living here.
Well, based on that, we're a resident now, so we should be able to just keep that going. The question is, what do we do about the before case?
Yes.
Before August.
Well,
and really what it comes down to is, I mean, it's cut and dry that we didn't have a valid license.
Right.
Based on that, what do we do in that regard? And I guess the options that we would have would be a civil penalty. I think that's probably about it, right? And that's up to $1,000 per incident?
There are multiple violations, however.
Yeah, and you can do up to $5,000 total as an aggregate, but
Let's,
I think that's what
can we talk about the violations before we get to the penalty?
Well, but I'm just saying, like I said, I mean, because he's admitted to it, so I said, now it's just, what do we deal with all that stuff at that point, right?
Well, it's, number one, there was incorrect information provided on the premise application.
Yeah.
Number two was a failure to notify the board.
Are you asking questions still?
Yeah, hold it, yeah, so I think we have a comment real quick.
No, I just, Madam Chair, before we discuss penalties or anything like that, the board would need to find a violation.
Right.
That which they have not done yet, and I don't know that all the board members have had the opportunity to address questions to the respondent.
Anybody else have any questions?
Okay.
Okay, I have one more, just to make sure, because I know the answer, but I want to hear it from Dr. Ader. Did you ever notify the board of your move back to California, and if so, when?
So it was a board meeting when the premise license question came up. And so I guess that's when everything sort of came to light that I was in California.
And that was?
I'm not sure.
February?
I don't remember.
You know, so at that time, I told him I was living in California. That's when, I realized that I was in violation.
It wasn't within the 20, one of my point is, I don't believe it was in the 20 days required by the statutes for reporting a change of address.
Well, to follow up on that question real quick, you said you own a residential property here in Arizona still.
Yes.
Is that the same property you've owned since?
Yes.
And is that where your license is, or your
yes.
contact is?
Yes.
See, so it's still, he doesn't have to be a resident to hold a license, you just have to have an address, and we've had a valid address, correct?
No, I believe we still have the California address.
Well, he still owns the property here with a residential property, so if we send mail to him, it's going to get forwarded to him, or at least we can still contact him through the address we have. So I don't think that's necessarily a violation because he's still got a contact address, right? That he still owns that property.
I misspoke. The address we have, Tracy can maybe correct me, is a Scottsdale address. It's the address we have of the property that he owns.
Yeah, and I can prove I own that.
Right, yeah. But he's told you today that up until recently he did live in California, so that's not a question.
Well, correct, but I mean, but don't we just need to have a contact address? It doesn't necessarily matter what it is as long as we can contact you.
Home address.
Oh, and then, so we're still establishing which state is residency for home.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was thinking it was just contact, not necessarily the residency portion.
The administrative rule requires a home address.
And home would be residency.
Not just
you own this property.
I mean, I could see where that would be very unclear because if you're really coming back 2 days a week to work at the practice, I would still consider that my home address. It's my home 2 days a week. It doesn't say it has to be your primary home. It says it has to be a home address. I own property in Arizona. I'm here 2 days a week. I have a home address. It hasn't changed. Yeah. Like, I guess I would say I could see where that would be very confusing to a veterinarian.
Yeah, so like I said, that one, like, at least it's the same. If we had bought a new property now and it was a different property address, that's one thing, but still a property address, still a contact.
Anyway, that's probably more
for
discussion.
But it's discussion of you, right? But yeah, that's.
What was the address on the premise license for his residence?
It would have been the same. Yeah. North 50.
I can't see.
But the premise license specifically says you're a resident. That's different than the practice license.
I mean, you want to know the premises address?
No, the home address on the premise license.
Correct. Of the responsible veterinarian.
Yeah, we can't say that loud.
So, I don't know that matters.
I have a address in Scottsdale for the responsible veterinarian.
Yeah, because premise license says you have to be a resident.
Yes.
Individual veterinary license just says you have to have a home address, right?
Yes.
So, that doesn't say residency.
And do you have any other questions? Questions? Okay. All right. This concludes the portion of the informal interview in which the board hears testimony. Wait. Not yet. Do you have any additional remarks, Dr. Ader?
I just, you know, again, I'm really sorry. I think there was some, you know, vagueness and that, you know, I sure felt like a resident maybe I did look at every letter and I should have contacted you guys. And so I accept what penalties are associated with that. You know, I don't think that having a large penalty is going to help me going forward in the future sort of be better. I want to be compliant. You know, I want to do whatever I need to do to make sure that this goes good in the future. And, you know, like I said, I'm really diligently searching, you know, and I'll be the premise holder, you know, residing here in the clinic. And
for months?
Yeah, I mean, however, I have an interview next week, so it could be really quick. I'm hoping, you know, and praying, but, you know, it's not my interest to be non-compliant, and it wasn't in my past either, so I apologize about that.
I would just also add, for those of you that don't work and hire in the veterinary profession on a regular basis.
Do we want to do a straight discussion?
No, because it's not really a discussion, it's just a statement. It's honestly, hiring the timeline that he is saying is not from a lack of not trying, is what I'm saying. Like, it's that is a normal timeline for trying to hire somebody. That I'm just trying so that everybody is on the same page.
There's a reason I sold my practice.
Right.
But yes, but I wanted to clarify that the onus, Dr. Hader, is when, you know, if you're still residing here when it's up for renewal, that will take care of that. And if you aren't residing here, then you need to have a new responsible veterinarian.
So, all right, now,
this is Dr. Hader's time to make a comment, not ours.
I'm sorry, who's?
Dr. Hader, right. It's his time to make a comment.
That's all I had to add, thank you so much.
All right, thank you. This concludes the portion of the informal interview in which the board hears testimony. The board will now deliberate and decide what to do in this matter. Now we can deliberate and talk about
decisions. Oh, I mean, who's had on this one? Oh, Ms. Solomon, I'll let you start.
Well, except the chair just told me to.
Yes, because that was his comment.
At that time.
Yeah, that's his comment period.
Well, I mean,
now
it's
yours.
I mean, I guess I'll just start the conversation off here. I think this was unfortunately an honest mistake, but it's still a mistake. It's still an issue that we have to resolve. Yeah. We have admitting to the fact that we weren't a resident of Arizona during that interim time. We are a resident now. Great, going forward, cool, that should be a lot smoother. But in that past time, what do we do with that? Because there is a violation. And it really, I mean, it's just not a whole lot of deliberation. It's just kind of cut and dry. Now, do we do anything further than that? Like I said, because, yeah, we signed state legal documents that weren't done correctly, and is that a fraudulent thing or not? I mean, that's part of our statutes also. Or was this just an honest mistake that wasn't intended to defraud anybody, which I kind of lean more towards. But there's still a violation of the
I'm in agreement with you. There's a violation. Mm-hmm. I think it was an honest mistake. I don't think that there was ill intent there.
No.
And I think there's been stuff put in place to try and fix it. Mm-hmm. And I would also say, while it does say that you need to be a resident of Arizona, if it was truly the case that he was here 2 days a week, he probably was in the practice more than most responsible vets in the state of Arizona that are legal residents of Arizona, right? So I don't feel like there's this, oh my God, you put the clinic at risk by not being there. Like, it's that, there's very little risk in this. It's, yes, it's a violation, and yes, it was an honest mistake. I believe it was an honest mistake. I guess everybody judges that differently, but it's not like I think that, oh my God, all this patient care went.
Yeah,
at risk,
I agree.
Right? Like,
I
think
it's bad medicine.
Yeah,
this is a clerical error, unfortunately, but it's still an error.
However, it came out of an inspection report with a number of repeat violations, and the focus began to be on that the responsible veterinarian was not present.
Those weren't repeat violations.
Pardon?
That was our initial inspection. It didn't happen during COVID, and there was. The vet had been practicing that building for 4 years.
It's okay, we're good there. So during COVID, there were self-inspections being done.
Uh-huh.
And so this was the first premise inspection where
after.
An inspector
okay.
went because
okay.
COVID
I
limited
corrected.
That. Yeah.
Got it, thank you.
So do we have a motion?
So, I mean, I don't know what violations you
I
found.
Can,
we can
I
go
can,
through and see.
I believe there was a violation of ARS 32-2272-2, which says Arizona residency is required for responsible veterinarians on the premise license. And we have proof that he was not at that time. He did not have a California, I mean, an Arizona driver's license, and had no other proof of residency, so.
And I think he's well admitted to that.
Tracy, do you agree with that? Because I'm not sure that that tracks. I can't hear you, Tracy.
Oop, we're muted.
I think you might have to find 3222, 3218 before you would go to 72.
Everything stands for 2232.
Yes, I believe it would be 18.
18.
That's the affixing your name, right?
2232 18.
Yeah.
Which reads, violating or attempting to violate directly or indirectly, or assisting or abetting the violation or conspiracy to violate any of the provisions of this chapter as a rule adopted by the board or a written order of the board.
Then you would say as related to the other one you stated. Is that correct? Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And that was as related to, could you repeat that, Tracy?
As it relates to 3222 72.
B2? No, just 2. 72, 2. It would be 3222, 72. There is no 2. Oh, it's only B2. Yeah, that's what I was like, wait a minute.
Thank you.
72. As it relates to 3222 72
B2.
B2. Got it. So those are two violations. And again, that's for the period from the application until the issuance of the Arizona driver's license.
I think the first one that you mentioned is the one that Victoria was saying, I don't think is the right one.
Well, not as a standalone.
It's as it relates.
Yeah. As it relates, okay.
So it's not two different violations.
It's two different statutes that are related to. Got it, okay.
It's one violation, it would be considered one.
Okay. What about ARS 3222 71A, which says veterinary medical preference, a veterinary medical practice premise license is required, since the information we have.
But we have a license because we issued the license.
Even though it contained incorrect information.
Yes. That's right because we just related that back to the first one you said. Yeah.
Just wanted to make sure. Okay. So that is my motion to find that violation.
Okay, so I have a motion.
And just to be clear, the motion is to find a violation of the fact that we didn't have a resident premise holder. Period.
From the time of application until August of this year.
Well, from when he moved to California until August. Because we don't know that when he filled out the premise, he said all of that was still correct. And then he moved after that.
Okay, the premise license.
I don't think that really matters, though, because we don't really need to know how long that was wrong. Okay. I think what we need to know was it wrong? Yes, I agree with you, it was, right? But, I don't know,
Yeah,
time frame doesn't matter, because it's still one violation.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you have a motion? Do you have a second?
Second.
Okay, so a motion and a second. We need to roll call.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ms. Frost.
Aye.
Dr. Jane says an aye. Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
And Dr. Aye.
Okay.
So we need a motion to find a violation.
Yes.
Okay. So the board has voted to find a violation.
Can we do full consent and everything right now, or do we have to do it next month?
It has to come back for consent.
It has to go next month. Okay, so it has to go. Yeah. Okay.
So at next month's meeting, the board will consider adopting proposed findings of facts and conclusions of law. After doing so, we'll then discuss and adopt disciplinary action. If you have any questions, please call the board's executive director, Victoria Whitmore, at the board's office. And this concludes the informal interview.
Thank you, Dr. Hagan.
Good job.
Okay.
Can I try to do Dr. McWhorter?
Yes. Go ahead.
Are you guys adopting an order now for this case?
No.
Oh, okay. Can you change the recorder?